Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, it's hard to turn a corner these days without being faced with sugary foods. And when you're in the supermarket, I mean, every few steps there's stuff that's laden with sugar. And it is so, so addictive. And it's in everything. And something that's really heightened my awareness of this is having a small child and trying to make food from scratch, healthy stuff, and being more aware of what's in foods and reading the labels, because I don't want him to have all that sort of sugar and things like that. But it's no surprise, just when we think of the amount of sugar that's in foods that sometimes we mightn't even think contains a lot of sugar, is that obesity, and specifically childhood obesity, is a serious issue. Around 80,000 children and young people are now clinically obese in Ireland. Now, this week you might have heard the news that a sugar tax on sugar sweetened drinks is going to come into effect. The aim of this is to try and help tackle some of these issues, but is it actually going to work? On the line to give us his thoughts of this, we have Professor Donal O'Shea, who's consultant endocrinologist at St Vincent's University Hospital. Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, give us just your overall thoughts on this sugar tax. What's the background to it, and do you think it's actually going to work?
Well, the background to it is, on a visit to New York about 10 years ago to look at calorie posting on menu boards that the New York City Department of Health were introducing, I left, and what they said to me was, well, you know, calorie posting is one thing that's good, but if there is one single measure that on its own has the potential to impact on childhood obesity, it would be a tax on sugar-sweetened drinks. And the reason for that is that consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks is particularly high in our kind of 5 to 15-year-old age group. And liquid sugar our kids drinking liquid sugar, we will be looking back in 30 years' time going, God, did we really allow that to happen in the middle of an obesity epidemic? All the evidence is there that the consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks by kids drives their weight, and if you leave them out, that they track to a healthier weight, and tax reduces consumption. So it has the potential to work, but we have to make sure and evaluate whether it does or not.
In terms of this particular tax, I think it's going to be about 30% when drinks have over 8 grams of sugar in them. But some people arguing this week, Donal, that, well, what will happen is that these drinks companies, and they've already done it in some cases, they'll take out the sugar and replace it with sweeteners. Are they not just as bad, and are they not kind of linked to, okay, you might be taking less sugar in the drink, but it makes you kind of psychologically go for sugary, fatty foods after drinking those type of drinks?
Yeah, there's no doubt that water and milk are the best drinks for our under-16s. There is no doubt that the calories in sugar-sweetened drinks are an added negative over and above all the additives and sweeteners that are in those drinks anyway. So, switching to a diet drink that's sugar-free from a sugar-sweetened drink, that's a positive thing to do. The evidence out there about the artificial sweeteners being dangerous, that isn't strong at the moment. You know, there's talk about it, but when you look at the studies, you can't be conclusive on it. And one of the things we need to be really kind of try to be balanced on is our messaging. There's so much out there about, oh, saturated fat is bad, this week, next week it's sugar is bad, the following week go on a high-protein, low-fat diet.
You don't really know what to believe, to be honest.
And you don't know what to believe. So what the, in fairness to the HSE, that they are really trying to do is just be balanced with their nutritional messaging. So what we know is that a high consumption of fruit and veg is good. There's lots of carbohydrate in fruit and veg. People think when they go on a no-carb diet, they're talking about just bread and pasta. You know, you need carbohydrate in your diet. The best source of it is your fruit and veg and salad. But you also need some from your rice, grain, pasta shelf, because that's the kind of carbs that make you feel a bit fuller for longer. The liquid sugar that the tax is going on is, and you referred to it in the introduction, it's a chemical buzz. The sugar gets into your system really quickly. The bit of your brain that likes it lights up and much wants more. So it is genuinely an addictive kind of substance that the food and drinks industry are magnificent at targeting towards our younger consumers.
When you mentioned just the food and drinks industry, Donal, I can't help but think of sugary drinks are one part of the picture, but obviously we and our children are eating so much more than that, than sugary drinks, i.e. there's sugar in so much cakes, biscuits, chocolate bars, sweets. It's probably just not enough, is it, for it just to be on fizzy drinks? Or would taxing everything sugary, would it actually overall change our attitudes to food, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping what the sugar sweetened drinks tax will do is kind of what it's doing at the moment. Companies are reformulating, so they're reducing the sugar content of their drinks. That is kind of magic, you know. That's the kind of, at a public health level, the reduction of sugar content by the industry is one thing that shows the tax is already working. Then there's discussions like this about the role of just too much sugar that is linked to empty calories, you know, no nutritional value in your sugar sweetened drinks, in the majority of your cakes and chocolate bars. So I think a sugar sweetened drinks tax is a good place to start because it's the best evidence. Ireland is a small country, so we can be flexible. We can evaluate the impact. We can evaluate the measures that the industry use to try and discredit us. So I'm looking forward to the food and drinks industry press release in 2 months' time saying surge in sugar sweetened drinks since introduction of tax, failure of sugar sweetened drinks tax. You know, they're to be enjoyed, those press releases, because at the moment what the food and drinks industry are being is relatively quiet. And the sound of silence means they've moved on to the next kind of iteration of how they're going to ensure ongoing profits are maintained. And part of that will be reformulation, which is great and we'll welcome it. And part of it will be peddling the high processed, high fat, high salt, high sugar food through our kids. You know, the Monopoly prize vault game that McDonald's are running at the moment, just a magnificent example of the industry at its best. It's encouraging consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks. So you get prizes for sugar-sweetened drinks. You get no prizes for water. You get prizes for a Big Mac. You get no prize for fruit. And it runs over 6 weeks. So they get you in a lot because you want to play the game, and kids like playing games. And when you're in, they get you consuming the bigger portions of the unhealthier options. It's absolute genius.
That's obviously very targeted on the one hand, but on the other hand, I'm listening saying, well, we do have a responsibility as parents, hard and all as it may be, to try and look after our kids in this regard. I think it's really frustrating that the government is saying with this tax and the revenue that they'll take from the tax, it's just going to go into a black hole, into the exchequer. And a lot of people would probably be much happier, I know I certainly would, if that money was actually being used to help parents, for example, with education around this issue.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And my role as HSE lead for obesity is to do my absolute utmost to make sure that this money, any money generated from the sugar sweetened drinks tax, is identified. And even if they put it into a black hole, because they say that's what we have to do and put it into our coffers, that they take out an identical amount and put that into preventive measures, put that into health promotion, put that into treating obesity. Because in Ireland, you know, in the last 10, you know, every year, 2,000 to 4,000 people die from obesity. 2,000 is kind of the lower number, 4,000 the upper number. So, but somewhere between 20 and 40,000 people have died from obesity over the last 10 years. And we've no screening, we've no outcry, we've no tribunal. So we've got to do better on the treatment side.
In terms of people listening right now, we can talk about the problems all we like, but what do parents at this moment in time do to try and look after themselves and their children in ways that are practical?
I think you have to accept that the environment is driving obesity. Filling the ambulance is passing by me at the moment. You've got to accept that. You've got to recognise that as a parent you do have a responsibility. You have to look at what goes into their school lunches. If your school, most primary schools have a healthy eating lunch policy, Many sports clubs now for younger kids are encouraging, healthy refreshments, water and fruit. And actually, after a week, the kids stop looking for the sugary stuff and are delighted with the healthy refreshments. So look at what you can do in your own house. Look at what you can do in your own environment surrounding that. And it is everybody's responsibility because we're not going to tax our way out of this epidemic. The tax may help. Calories and menu boards may help. And policy measures up at the top will take kind of years to have an effect. But any parent listening today can have a look in their house and a look in their environment, and they can make a change today that's going to impact on their family and their local environment. So you have to have both happening. And that's why I'm so pleased the moment of the sugar tax has actually arrived, because in fairness, it was three ministers for health put it forward, the College of Physicians, the HSE, the followers of Operation Transformation. We're all kind of asking for this. And it's only because we had a Minister for Health who became Taoiseach that it finally got over the line. And in many ways, even then, it was very close because of the power of industry lobbying to just not happening.
Well, it seems to be a step in the right direction. Professor John O'Shea, thanks so much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.